Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
This past year has brought a lot of grief. Let's just be straight up about it, with people working, losing jobs, trying to find jobs, fresh grads who are looking to get into the workforce. It has been a difficult time on a lot of levels for a lot of people. Our next guest has been working with folks to figure out interviewing skills during the job pandemic, job skills during the pandemic, and many other topics. Let's bring her on now. Dr. Juliana Chan, founder of the Asian Scientist magazine and CEO of Wild Type Media. Juliana, great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Junie. Great to be with you this morning.
Yeah. You know, we kept you waiting just a little bit, so we apologize for that.
Oh, it's fine. I had a great time listening to Steve Okun speak. I know Steve. And yeah. Last night I had a dinner called Politics and Prosecco, so this seems like the morning after.
Well, I hope too much Prosecco wasn't in there, because that would have made this morning a little bit difficult for you to get up.
It was a bit difficult. I just got up, I got to admit.
Well, if this is what you look like when you just get up, I think you're doing pretty well. You look great. But thanks for being with us today, Juliana. Juliana, pandemic job interviewing skills. What does that look like? Because you've been working with folks in 6 or 8 months or so. What do they need to know that's different about that these days?
So I got to give a disclaimer. I'm not myself an executive coach.
Sure. I'm
a founder of a science media company, mother of two, actually a former scientist. But I just happen to interview a number of people, and I write actively on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So this is really just my own personal thoughts after interviewing hundreds and hundreds of young people.
Great.
All right. So first thing I want to say is congratulations, because the fact that you have been invited to an interview means that you have passed a very difficult hurdle. This is basically screening hundreds of CVs, either automatically using an automated system or a HR manager, literally looking through PDF after PDF. And I've heard the ratios, the odds aren't on your side. It's about 1 or 2 out of 100 CVs usually proceed to the interview stage. So it really tells you that you've made it very far. And that's a good sign. And the job is almost there. You're at the finish line. Yeah, you're nearly at the finish line.
And
so that's the first thing I want to say.
Yeah, what do you think have been some of the key qualities or traits of people that make it through that gauntlet? Because you're right, it's a tough sell with so many people applying for so few jobs.
So companies that are still hiring in the pandemic usually are in a good industry. You know, maybe they're not in tourism or hotels or MICE. That's a really good sign. And it tells you that there is a headcount available. And those that make it to the interview stage probably met all the requirements of the job, or most of it, based on their CV alone.
Yeah,
so they just want to meet you in person to see if you're a weird person, you know, if you turn out to be a freak.
Make sure you're not a stalker or something, right?
right.
So, Juliana, you and I go back a long time. I remember when you were first starting out Asian Scientists, and we had this conversation when you were still at the lab at A-Star. And then, kudos to you. You've grown, you've built your company, and, you know, she literally started from a newsletter. from a newsletter, writing
up
research findings and interesting nuggets of information which ordinarily would never get out there to the public. And of course, over the years, you've built this publishing company and you've interviewed all these people. Things have changed, of course. The last year has been, it's not been business as normal. It's not been business as usual. What have some, share with us, okay, no names, but share with us some of the really weird, expectations or things that have come out from the people that you've interviewed.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you some of the thanks, Junie, for sharing our background. We've gone a long way back. In fact, both of us at one point were at NTU together. So, Glenn, Junie, I'm going to share something which I call the boomerang. And that's the only thing I want everyone to take away from this session, the boomerang. I believe you all know what a boomerang is. If you throw it, you expect it to come back to you.
Yep.
So in the sense of an interviewee relationship, which is an unbalanced one, the interviewer is looking for someone to fill a job scope, clearly. And the interviewee, the candidate, is seeking a job. So both go in with their own requirements and their own goals. But remember that the candidate is seeking a job and the interviewer is looking to fill a role. So if you remember the boomerang tip, is basically every question that the interviewer asks has to eventually boomerang back in terms of how the candidate can provide value to the company. No matter what question you are thrown, has always to come back to the company and the value you can provide. And if any candidate goes in with that kind of self-awareness, I feel that they got the job already. Because that's what we are looking for right now.
Mature, so what are some of the answers that have startled you, yes, you know, in a time like this? Times are difficult. You know, usually candidates go in trying to secure the best deal for themselves. And exactly, of course, nobody, as a job, say, interviewee, you don't want to be taken advantage of, obviously. So, you know, well, yeah, but, you know, this time, these times are difficult. You know, people are being laid off. People have had pay cuts and so on.
Great. So, Junie, the people I interview tend to fall in two zones. One is the group that has gotten retrenched in this past year. Believe me, I've interviewed many. And the other group is those who are still, despite having a job, wanting to leave it because of a toxic boss, a culture, or colleagues. So I put them into two zones. They tend to fall neatly. So let's talk about the boomerang in terms of people who got retrenched. Okay. So I usually ask tough questions like, if the company is downsizing by 10%, that means they kept 9 of their employees and they let one go. So I'm not going to let my star employee go, right? I'm going to let the weakest link go. So I'm interviewing the weakest link right now. Why should I hire you? That's a tough question that I ask people. So if you don't use the boomerang tip, then you're going to be very defensive, a bit angry, and a bit hurt. And I've seen those kind of answers, and their face and their demeanor changes entirely to something very, very defensive. But someone who understands the boomerang tip would respond differently. They would say something like, well, I agree that I was retrenched. If I could help it, I would not want to leave this company. I was given no choice.
Sometimes they're also the youngest, you know, it's like last in, first out.
Or sometimes the most expensive, right? To reduce the
first
the cost.
First in, first out often happens too.
It could be anything, right? It could be someone the boss doesn't like. Anyhow, the self-aware candidate would say, I know I was the one that was retrenched and I cannot lie. It was true. But because I have all that transferable knowledge, you know, I've learned how to do content marketing, you know, account management, design or public speaking, and I am going to transfer all that knowledge to your company and help you cross the pandemic and even grow your company. And frankly speaking, I have all this energy and you know, I identify with your mission. So perhaps I could be of value to your company. So I turn something which is really, you know, negative into perhaps something optimistic.
So don't ask what the company can do for you, but what you can do for the company.
Right. Yes. And I don't know if there's time, but I want to tell you about the other case where I would tell them, so tell me about this toxic boss of yours that causes you to want to find a new job in a pandemic when you have a perfectly fine job. So candidates who aren't self-aware will go on a complete rant about that boss or colleague, and justifiably so, they're upset. So, you know, after about 10 minutes, I kind of want to tell them like, well, it'll be $200 for the therapy fees. off you go. I hope you feel better now. But I'm not going
to
be hiring you.
I'll take cash. Cash or check.
Yeah,
I'll take cash.
You know, pay now is fine. But I think someone who's really, really self-aware, they would say, I can't lie. It was a toxic boss that caused me to want to find a new job. It was a push, maybe more than a pull. But, you know, during this time, I learned how to be a lot more resilient. I think I became a lot more mature. I learned how, you know, cultures out there can be toxic. But I identify with your company's mission. And I believe I can, because of what I've learned, create a very healthy culture in this company and mentor people around in a healthy manner. So I think I've turned something really bad into something like, hey, I would actually want someone who has been burnt before joins me, because they'll be grateful and they might help me create something better here.
And self-aware. Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Juliana Chan, founder of Asian Scientist Magazine, a CEO of Wildtype Media. I love that. That is how to take a weakness, a perceived weakness perhaps, make it into a strength, but always bring it back to the future employer, the person that's talking to you. And this goes to, honestly, Juliana, what we talk about in communication all the time, which is know your audience. Know what your audience needs or expects from you as a communicator. In this case, the person who's communicating to be in a job interview scenario. Let's move on, if we can, to the 10Xing of people. What does it mean?
I love that.
What does it mean to 10X yourself at work? I'm dying to hear this.
So I started picking stocks and buying U.S. stocks this year. I'm just a rookie, and most people think of 10Xing your portfolio as making a lot more money,
sure,
or 10Xing at work as working 10X harder. But that's the opposite of what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of 10xing your value and your impact. So we have the same number of hours a day, Glenn, at least in working hours. And if you can only work the fixed amount of hours, how can you make that those hours better? There are many ways to do that. If you run a team of 10 people, that you're already 10xing your time by delegating work. But if you're a junior employee that nobody reports to you, I think the easiest way to do that is to be extremely independent so that senior resource can be spent elsewhere on something that's a higher margin than managing your emails and your KPIs. And then if you have like peers or interns, definitely mentoring them and transferring institutional knowledge is the best way of maxing out your time. Because by teaching someone how to fish, then they will fish every day without your support. But another way of thinking of it is, if you can choose between two projects, one which has a clear SOP, you know, a clear way of achieving your goals, and you're basically a commodity trying to achieve that project goals, versus something else which is completely unclear and ambiguous, but potentially lead to a completely new vertical or 10x of the company's revenue down the line, I would choose the latter.
So being very strategic, nobody wants that project. Being very strategic in what you choose to do at work. And I hear you. I think that's a great idea. But sometimes we don't necessarily have a choice, right? The boss says, do this, yes, do that. And how is there a strategy to 10X when you're potentially forced to do a task or a job that maybe doesn't give you a lot of leeway into 10Xing it?
No, I completely understand. So I have had people in the same job role, and then, of course, they leave and somebody else takes over, doing the same function in a completely different manner. I call them game changers. So I have had someone just take touch of project management and emails, and then that person left, and then a new person came in and did it completely differently, in the way that everyone on the other side of the email felt respected, that they were dealing with a professional, and actually retained my company's services as a result. You can email like a game changer too. You don't have to be the boss to be valuable. You can be valuable at all levels doing a very simple job scope perfectly.
Yeah, and one thing I think you mentioned also, you bring 10Xing your value and your impact. That could be also looking at niches or gaps that need to be filled. So that's also something which people can look out for, not just waiting for instructions from the boss, but looking at, say, where are the needs that need to be plugged, the holes that need to be plugged.
And you know, Junie, at baseline, if you have a mission-oriented personality as opposed to a money-oriented, although we are money FM, you know, you can choose professions that have outsized impact on society, like, you know, pastors and priests. They speak to thousands of people every week.
Yeah.
Being an educator, at the end of my tenure at NTU, I think I had taught up to maybe 1,000 students at any point. And being a community worker or at a nonprofit, I think that is really 10Xing your impact, using the same number of hours as me and you.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with making money, right? I mean, we all need to do that to survive. We got to keep the lights on and all that. But there are other, as you rightly point out, there are other elements of being a coworker, of being an employee, that are also equally important. If, as we look forward into 2021, we just have a couple of minutes left here. What is one or two things that we can focus on from your perspective to make our work situation better, either our own performance or just our work environment? You choose.
Tough question, Glenn, but I've read a lot of management psychology in the pandemic and remote work. They say over-communicate. You know, I've read a book that says you sometimes have to say something 7 times before somebody internalizes it. So someone like a supervisor, a line manager or director sometimes should over-communicate their vision, their mission, and their goals for 2021, even up to 7 times before maybe the junior executive gets it. So over-communicate and never under-communicate, because we don't see each other anymore. We're working from home. And sometimes there's a little bit of a erosion of culture in the company as a result.
Indeed. Juliana Chan, founder of Asian Scientist Magazine, CEO of Wildtype Media. We have to leave it there, unfortunately. I hope you'll come on again, though, and talk with us more.
I hope to, Glenn, Junie.
Thanks for your time today,
Juliana.
So much, Juliana. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.